Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day just to be alive, courtesy of your grace and mercy. Father, we are thankful for all you are and all you do for us. We thank you for your character, things like your faithfulness and your mercy and your gentleness. And especially your love that motivates it all. Father, we thank you for your Son. Thank you for sending him down as the proof of your love for us, so that whoever repents and believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. Right now, Father, we ask that you clear our heads, that you help us concentrate on your word and to appreciate you more and more. We ask your blessing to be upon this message. We ask these things in Christ's precious name and by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, today is a Thanksgiving special. The title of our lesson is called The God Who Cares. The God Who Cares. There are a lot of messages throughout the Word of God that God actually cares about us very deeply. And we read these things, we hear these things, we believe these things, but then at times we tend to doubt. And in the back of our minds, we start to wonder sometimes. And doubts creep in. They really do creep in, right? It's a good word, creep, because that's what they do. We're going well, right? We're going strong. We're believing. We're trusting the Lord. And then, right, like a little monster creeping in your soul starts whispering to you, saying, is this really true? And maybe that's just Satan and his demons at work, as well as our flesh as the inside agent. But we understand this is our flesh. This is from the world. And we need to look no further than the cross itself to see his great care for us. So I know this has been said before, but anytime you start waning in your faith, look at the cross. Stare at the cross. Just think about that day and what he willingly went through for you. And that should wipe away all the doubts that creep in. Because there's no greater evidence of love than someone willingly doing what he did for us. So to say the least, the Lord went another mile with us and also turned the other cheek. You know, the Lord said those phrases telling us to live this way, right? Talk about an example of that. Epitomed, if that's the word, greatest example on the cross of turning the other cheek and going the extra mile. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It's beyond words. So turn to John chapter 10, verse 10 as we begin. We're going to have a lot of scriptures and passages today that are very encouraging about God's care for us. So get your fingers ready. And as we start, his care for us might be best summed up by his goodness as our shepherd who came for the lost sheep. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now get the full picture before we move on. Picture a literal shepherd out in the middle of nowhere in a field with the sheep that he loves, fighting off a pack of wolves until they eventually attack him, and knowing that's what was going to come. That's our good shepherd. Knowing he defends us like this should give us great relief. Knowing this is him. He's the one who even came for us. But even every day he defends us in this way, in ways we don't even see, in ways he covers our back, ways he protects us. And also knowing that he's the one that doesn't even leave one sheep behind. Sometimes we get a little too introspective, right? And fall into self-pity. Well, don't think you're the one that's not savable for whatever reason. He won't leave one sheep behind, and that includes you. So his care really is immeasurable. You know, it's really not comprehensible. And this is all true, even though we're the ones that run away from him and disobey him, sometimes on purpose. So turn to Matthew 18:10, to see a little bit more about his caring heart for us. And again, this is a special Thanksgiving message. What are the things we should be giving thanks for? Matthew 18:10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Do you see the attitude of our Heavenly Father, which was lived out in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ? Hopefully through this parable, you see God's heart and his deep care for each and every one of us. Now, speaking of his care for us, turn to 1 Peter 5:6. 1 Peter 5:6. The Holy Spirit is entreating everyone listening to my voice right now to believe what his word says about God's attitude towards you. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. He does. If anyone knew, it was Peter, by the way, who was forgiven after denying the Lord 3 times, face to face, forgiven by the Lord a few days later. He cares for you. Peter knew it. And he's telling us, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. As we've talked about over the years, it's just a mind blow that he even cares for us at all. Let's see a couple examples of this in the scriptures again to encourage us. Go to Psalm 8:3. Psalm 8:3. Why does he even care about us at all? But he does. Psalm 8:3-4. We've seen this recently. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care about him?" It doesn't make sense, does it? But it doesn't have to. This is where we're called by God to receive these truths by faith. Stop your overthinking. Receive these truths, the good news about God and who he really is and his attitude towards us. Receive these truths by faith. It's true that we can't see him right now, visibly speaking, but he wants us to know he sees us and he cares for us. Deeply, much more deeply than we can even imagine. And one day in heaven, if you're a believer, you'll see it, like in full bloom, right? In full light. And you'll be like, "Why did I doubt? Why did I question? Why didn't I just believe wholeheartedly that he cares for me?" Turn to Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. Again, it's true that we can't see God right now, and sometimes that makes us stumble, right? We need to apply faith. And he wants us to know he sees us and cares for us. Psalm 32:8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Don't ever think God doesn't have his eye upon you. One day he might just prove it to you, to show you, especially when you're lacking faith. But his eye is upon us every single step of the way. Everything we do and think. He's watching like a good father would watch over his children, like a good shepherd would watch over his sheep. Go to Psalm 40, verse 17. Psalm 40:17. Again, we're talking about, you know, why does God even think of us at all, right? Well, he does. Look at part A of Psalm 40:17. "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me." And why the poor and needy, right? Like we as human beings, we gravitate to the rich and successful, right? We care for them. God gravitates towards the poor and needy, and he takes thought of them. And we're all poor and needy. If you don't think you're poor and needy, you're just in denial. You don't understand the poverty of your soul without God is really what we're talking about. So some of us need to stop rationalizing, and we need to stop trying to make sense of it all. We need to believe what the Word of God says. It doesn't make sense, humanly speaking. But that's the beauty of our God. He goes way beyond our thoughts. So today, let's be thankful for some passages that reveal God's goodness towards us and that reveal God really does care about us, despite our great guilt of our sins. Turn to James 2, verse 1. This will be one of our main passages, in a sense, because God led me to bring this up today, even though it doesn't directly talk about God caring for us. But it illustrates something. It illustrates something about the beauty of our God. James 2, 1. "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing, and you say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers," and here's the point about God, "has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Now jump to verse 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is God who said this, my friends. Mercy triumphs over judgment. His Holy Spirit revealed God's attitude here. In other words, he's God. It could have easily been switched. Judgment triumphs over mercy. He could have very easily been a God that we would fear in the sense that he's not merciful. But it is the opposite. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Talk about one thing to be thankful for this weekend. This is the good God that we serve. This is the God that we love. Because he loved us first, right? Doesn't make sense, but that's okay. The God who rightly should have just judged us before we even got started is the God who chose to have mercy towards us instead. Turn to Lamentations 3:21. We're going to see a few passages about his great mercy as evidence of his great care for us. I mean, think about it. Without mercy, we couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. Literally. If he halted his mercy upon you, you would not get up out of bed in the morning. Every day he lets you get up, he's expressing mercy toward you, right? Because of our sins, like he doesn't lose his temper. His patience doesn't end with us. At least as believers. As we're going to see, his faithfulness is never ending. So Lamentations 3 is a favorite promise to cling to, especially when you have a bad day. Verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When's the last time you thanked God for his mercy in the morning? Maybe you do. I hope you do. Here's maybe a better question. Do you take his mercy upon you for granted? Do you wake up and take it for granted that you were going to wake up and you were supposed to wake up? If so, you probably take his mercy for granted. God's mercy and grace is active upon us, right? Pastors always said he's saving us daily. He's even strengthening and keeping the faith by his power. He's upholding our faith by his power, right? He is actively acting in mercy towards us every second of every day, really. And it was God's great mercy that caused us to be born again. Do you remember that? We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, as we know. But he dramatically did something about it. Like the shepherd coming to the rescue of his sheep with a pack of wolves around. And he came for us who had no hope within ourselves. No defense. Out of his great mercy towards us. Turn to 1 Peter 1:3 for a reminder that his great mercy is what caused us to be born again. It wasn't our smart decision to believe in Christ. It was his great mercy that caused you to believe in Christ. We've been learning this, right? God's tremendous sovereignty is very real. And were it not for his great mercy, no one would have believed. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. According to his great mercy, you would never have come to Christ were it not for his great mercy towards you. Mercy triumphs over judgment because our good God says so. And when we believers are faithless even at times, we lose heart at times, we doubt at times, he's the one intervening on our behalf. And we're guarded by his power until the end, as we just read. And it's his faithfulness that endures until that great day when we see the Lord. So on this note, turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2, 11. I mean, when you see that, when you hear that his mercy never ends, think about that. His mercy never ends. There's always an end to our patience, right? At some point, someone's going to push the button too many times and we're going to explode. You might even go 100 times. Like, God just gave you this amazing patience. But on 101, you explode because you're limited. We're limited. Even living in the filling of the Spirit, we let our flesh creep in. His mercy never ends towards those who are his. And even when we're faithless. 2 Timothy 2:11. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That could be speaking about rewards in context. We talked about that. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, it's his own character on the line. It's his own word on the line. Right? He can't go against his own word. He's perfect. So even when we're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Unchangeable promises. Remember that passage? Two unchangeable promises. I think it's in the book of Hebrews. God is unchangeable. He's immutable. And this is one of the things we thank him for, if we're wise. Imagine if he changed like we change. So, now we're talking about his faithfulness. Turn to Psalm 36:5. Psalm 36:5. Another thing to profusely thank God for is his faithfulness, which the Bible also basically says never ends. His faithfulness reaches to the sky. Look at Psalm 36:5 through 7. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I know you're there for me. I know you're always there for me. Thank you. I know I can always go under your wings. Obviously, all of God's goodness, including his perfect faithfulness, is motivated by his steadfast love. God is love, we remember, and talk about another thing to be really thankful for. It could have been switched. The priorities could have been swapped out. If we were God, we would swap them out. I'll take judgment over mercy. Mercy, thank you. How dare they talk to me that way? Isn't that what we would do? At least on the 101st time? Not God. Look at Psalm 57:9. Go to Psalm 57:9. This is the caring God we should be giving thanks to. Just for the fact that he cares about us. Psalm 57:9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Why should God's glory be spread over all the earth? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. One very simple reason, because he actually cares about us. He actually cares about those who have rebelled against him. That's a pretty good reason to brag about his name throughout all the earth. He really is merciful and full of love and faithfulness towards those who turn to him for forgiveness. How incredibly thankful we should be every single day we wake up. Go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Again, that's a great thing about the Thanksgiving holiday, isn't it? We even get a few days to stop our routine, to stop hustling around, to stop forgetting about God, to stop forgetting to be thankful, and to pause and be like, phew, thank God you are who you are, Lord, or we know the results, what they would be. Psalm 138, we're going to read right through this beautiful psalm. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. We just read in Timothy that he cannot deny himself, right? Look at that last phrase. Do not forsake the work of your hands, Lord. I'm the work of your hands. Do not forsake me. Let your love live out. Help me fulfill your purpose for me. So at this point, it's appropriate to pause and recall God's gentleness towards us. Oh, how extremely gentle he is towards us. And just to give you a little analogy before we look at a couple verses about this. You know when you definitely deserve something from somebody, and someone holds back from saying or doing what you would do if you were them? Ever been there? Anybody? Come on. You're literally praying that they just hold back the judgment in that situation that you do deserve and you know it. And they do decide to hold it back. That's gentleness. That's choosing to be gentle in the face of circumstances that call for judgment. And that's what God does for us every single day. And that's part of God's amazing patience. They go hand in hand, right? Were it not for his patience and gentleness, we would be consumed. Poof, away with you. That's what we would do, at least on the 101st time. God keeps being patient and keeps expressing gentleness towards us, just like he expresses his mercy towards us every day. Turn to Matthew 12, verse 9. The Lord epitomized gentleness, which is a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. That makes sense, right? Out of his great love for us, he chose to be gentle with us. And in Matthew 12, here's a good picture of the God who cares for us, walking in the flesh. Matthew 12, 9. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and ordered them not to make him known. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. And in his name the Gentiles will hope." This is the God we serve, the gentle God we serve. And we can serve him with joy and hope because we know of things like his gentleness, right? You can serve him freely, so to speak, with joy and hope because you know the God you serve, the one who's full of gentleness and mercy and faithfulness that never ends. That's why we should be so thankful for who he is, because he frees us to live for him, even to do so with joy. I was thinking about this weekend, I was talking to somebody. I was thinking about how joyful or joyous it is to help somebody in need. And even just thanking God for that, right? Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Like, how about thanking God for the joy he lets you experience when you help someone that's really in need? What a privilege. And we're free to do that thing without worrying that God is behind us, you know, not being faithful or changing his mind about us. See how much we got to thank him for his character and his goodness? Because he frees us to go live for him without any worries, knowing he has our back. What a beautiful God we have. We have so much to be thankful for. Turn to Psalm 18:35. Psalm 18:35. Here we see David's exclamation about God's gentleness towards him. David knew. David knew, first of all, that he should be consumed himself for his own sins. That's why he's thanking God for his gentleness. And second of all, that defeating the giant Goliath, and from then on, all of his military victories and prowess and leadership as the king of Israel was all because God's gentleness was upon him. Psalm 18:35. "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." Anything good about us, as most of you know, anything good about us and any good that comes from us is because God has chosen to be patient and gentle with us. Amen? You wouldn't even be allowed to do that thing, that good deed that you got to experience joy from. You wouldn't be allowed to do that without his patience and gentleness empowering you. David knew where his success came from. It was from the Lord, who constantly expressed gentleness towards him, despite his massive failures at times. Go to Isaiah 40, verse 10. Isaiah 40, verse 10, just a little bit more, thanking God for his gentleness. And again, just get the picture. I love all these. We have a lot of verses today about the shepherd and the sheep. And really picture this in a field, you know, where the shepherd would take his sheep to feed and graze. Really picture what's going on. It's a really good visual, obviously, that God has given us to show us how he cares for us. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Oh, his gentleness. Whew, it's way beyond any gentleness we've experienced in this life from another person. So this, again, is the mighty God we serve. We just read about his might in the same passage. And even though he's mightier than all, he's also gentler than all. So this is the God who says mercy triumphs over judgment. We have so much to be thankful for, to stop our stupid, foolish thinking at times, stop our selfishness, and just be thankful that this is the God who is above us. Go to Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. He is who he is. And the good news is that he's very good in a lot of ways. Yes, he's righteous. Yes, he will judge one day for those that ultimately refuse his son. But he is very good, and he wants to be very good to all. This is his heart. Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is God's Spirit. These are all things we should be thanking him for every day. If you're wondering, you know, if you pray, sometimes you like trying to remember what you should be thankful for. Go to this verse. You got 9 things right here that you can think about each one of them and say, wow, I should be thankful for that. Oh, thank God he's like that. Thank God he's also like that. Right? This is the God we serve, one who cares about us way beyond what we can imagine. Turn to James 3:17. James 3:17. There's something so pure about you just reading his word, right? Just keep reading his word, keep reading his promises, let your heart be filled. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Remember, be merciful or you won't receive mercy. Remember that? We started with that. That was part of that passage too. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Thank God and he wants us to be the same way. And we see that again in verse 18. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Look forward to being merciful. Don't look forward to being judging. That's the really beautiful thing. Just like he was beautiful towards us. So we should probably end this time of Thanksgiving today by thanking God for his love, being thankful that he is the God of love and not some other God. Turn to 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. If you ever need a kick, like a kickstarter for your soul, and you need to be reminded about God's love, 1 John is a really good book to go to. 1 John 3, look at verses 1 through 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Think about the purity of his love. That's who he is. Go to verse 16, 1 John 3, 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. And go to 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. So what else is there really to say? I'm glad we finished up with God's love, because God's love motivates it all. But we have so much to be thankful for, in particular the fact that God is gracious and compassionate and full of mercy and motivated by his perfect love. We have a God that cares deeply about us, more than we can even imagine. And all we have to do to remember that, even when we have our bad moments, is remember his precious person who gave himself up on the cross because of his great love for the sheep. Fighting off the wolves, facing the wolves, who are the religious Pharisees who are putting burdens upon his people, right? Fighting them off to the end, even on the cross when they pinned him up. He was fighting off the wolves on our behalf so that we would be free through him, through his victory over sin and death. All part of the magnificent plan of our God and Father, who's full of mercy and good things, who deeply cares about us. So let's challenge ourselves to thank God every single day we wake up. Every single day he allows us to wake up. Because it truly is a gift. And he truly is applying mercy to us every single day. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you so much for your goodness, just for who you are. And we thank you for giving us your word that makes it so clear about your deep care for us. And we thank you for the great proof of your care for us, the cross of Jesus Christ, who willingly went there to suffer and die in our place, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be rescued from ourselves and from sin and death, to live forever with you, our loving Heavenly Father. Father, help us be thankful every single day that you apply your goodness to us every day while we're alive. To you be the glory in our lives, Father. We ask all these things in Christ's precious name, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray.